Thank you for joining us. So Auburn Medical
is this finally working?
YouTube
so,
channel.
So now I've got to re-say what I said in the last 10, really? 5 minutes?
Really? We were talking to you, not another audience.
It is actually working.
We don't have another audience on the side that we don't tell you about.
Man.
Whew. Well, actually, we kind of do. We should talk about that. We do have the audio-only portion of the program on a podcast called Auburn Medical Group.
So if you don't have time to watch this, you know, and you want to listen to us while you're out running or working out or
driving.
Socially distancing in the wild.
There is a way to be able to get it without
There's
having
a way to do it.
Use your eyes, and that's the Auburn Medical Group podcast. So we'll have this out available on that, just like we
Excellent.
Have the other podcast, Medically Speaking Radio, that many
that's
of our
right.
Viewers also watch.
I love that one.
Thanks.
Because I'm not a part of it.
Don't have to hear my own voice.
That's the one I listen to every time it comes out.
So we actually had quite a bit of interest, it seems, in when we said that this topic of this this video was going to be Plandemic is the name of a, I guess you can't call it a film yet because it's more like
a
20-minute trailer.
Teaser? I don't know what you would call that.
Well, it's more than a teaser. It's 20 minutes long.
25 minutes, I think.
It's a short based on the feature. Or the feature will be a feature based on the short. They call it a documentary. So
call it
we
that.
We're not going to get deep into everything on it.
Right.
Okay. There's anybody that's not a doctor can go to the internet and research claims made on the film.
Sure.
We are going to talk about specifically what we as doctors who test for COVID-19 and would be responsible for treating it if we found it, what we uniquely bring to talking about Plandemic. So if you have seen that or if a friend or family member has seen it and told you about it, we can address some very specific things in this video about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are a lot of things beyond that that have their own source of discrediting them, but we won't go into that. We will leave that to other sources.
I was going to say we're not journalists, but it verges on medical journalism, what we do.
I guess so.
Yeah. Because
talk show.
Okay, so we will talk about some of that. So I'm sorry, was there anything from our viewers?
We already called you out when we already started, had that false start previously, but we'll still
I'm so glad we're not doing the green screen thing today.
Oh, that I'd be
that would just so total fail.
Yeah, that would be bad.
Anyways,
Bianca, thanks for showing up. You are a channel member, so we definitely want to call you out. And you too can become a channel member. Just click down
You're
the box
You're talking
to all below.
The non-Biancas.
To the non-Biancas. But we do recognize some common names that we see, and we appreciate you showing up too. Rusty Bernard, Pamela Stramke, and Life on 10.
It's one of them. It's either Vanessa or Angela, but whoever it is,
thanks
so much
for watching. And go check
it.
Out their channel after you're done
Life
with us.
Life on 10.
They're
In fact,
great.
If you go to the Auburn Medical Group channel page on YouTube, and it says something about related channels or promoted channels, you'll see Life on 10.
Right, and Vanessa, one of
the Dr. people. Walker.
Dr. Walker. Yeah, I guess I should refer to her as her official name. She is a critical care specialist, so she is literally working with those with COVID-19. So she's got some great insights. Those on ventilators and such. So
maybe she'll chime in on some of the stuff we talk about.
Yeah. Anyways.
So the first thing that I would say as a physician having watched this is they have people, interviewed, people speaking, wearing scrubs, sometimes as if they're in front of a group of people and sometimes it's just a couple of them. You're not sure who they're talking to. You're not sure if it's a big room, a little room. I think they're always wearing scrubs. Some of them speak very much as if they are physicians.
Right.
Very much giving you the impression that's who they are. Other times it's a little not so sure.
Right.
Can't make out a name on the scrubs. There is no lower third or title on the screen to tell you the title of the person or even a name of the person.
Yep. Well, one of them has been widely circulated, those two doctors from Bakersfield.
So you know who two of those individuals are. You've seen them somewhere else?
On YouTube. They had they kind of made their rounds maybe 2 weeks to a month ago. And they, with the same claims they're making in this video, and it was very shortly after that that their own accreditation body, I think it's ASAP, I don't know if they're emergency. I think they are that work urgent care, but definitely I think the emergency physician academy came out and said, no, don't listen to these guys. They like made a public statement.
There's the AAEM, and then there's ASAP.
I'm pretty sure it was ASAP.
And then the board is ABEM.
Yeah, it wasn't the
board.
No, it was one of the
academies. It was a professional society.
Yeah, it was. And they called out and said, don't listen. Like, they made an official statement.
Okay, distancing themselves from these. Right. So emergency physicians, apparently.
Yes.
And what was it that they were saying in the 20-minute version?
So those were the two guys. They had a couple of short bits in there. The first part, they were saying, why are we being told to code everything as COVID-19? Which we will talk about.
We can address that.
And I think there was another thing where they went into, you see, we're not wearing masks here, and we actually should be circulating this so we all get immunity.
They said that stuff?
It was something
that
like...
That was them?
Yeah, it was something to that effect. And they were the ones that say, we have bacteria. When we touch each other, we're transferring bacteria, which this is a virus, and yeah, you transfer viruses too, but yeah. They were talking about, the immunity we build up with that. And they were using, the terminology that we use, but it was just, this is not a virus we've ever seen before.
Were these the ones who talked about if you wear a mask, you're rebreathing the viral expressions?
I would have to watch the movie
are these
again.
These viruses that are very upset and you're making a face?
Expressions. Brownie face. Poor virus.
Somebody says that in it, though.
Yeah, I do remember
talking
that.
Talking about breathing back in.
It's all kind of a blur,
Okay.
Please don't quote me on which doctors say what. Because I watched that movie miniature once, and it was enough for me to not want to watch it again. So I did not go back and recheck all of that. So, but anyways, we can talk on some of those things.
So let's do. Let's talk specifically about the coding.
Sure.
So they said somebody's forcing them, or?
I think that's, they were saying, why is everyone telling us to code COVID-19? I believe that was their,
okay,
something like that. Again, this was like 2 weeks ago or a week or so ago when I watched this. And
it totally reminded me of when I worked in a large department and I was the young guy. This is, how many years ago? It was over 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And there were some older, this was a very, very male-dominated department that I was in. So I can't say anything about any women being, kind of like that because there were very few and they didn't behave like that. So it was older men and they're kind of grumpy individuals, kind of like the guys in the video. And they didn't like being told to do anything. And they would complain about everything the administration told us to do and say, oh, they don't know because they're not in the actual trenches doing the work. And sometimes they're right. But a lot of times, through my career, I've kind of, now I'm more on the administrative side than I was then. And I see where things come from and I see how things work. And I understand that coding the correct COVID-19 codes to indicate if the patient has COVID-19 or if they don't have COVID-19 is a good thing. So there are actually 6 codes.
Right.
And I will see if I can actually bring in the 6 codes for our people. It's not actually the codes. It's just showing that there are 6 codes. And the different types, why there's 6 codes, because there's different things
we're
looking at.
Different things that were.
It would seem that maybe I'm not able to bring in 6 codes.
Technical difficulties, again.
But they're things like in pregnancy, COVID-19 in pregnancy, or asymptomatic screening, or
suspected COVID-19.
So there's this one code that we use on all the people we've tested. And it has different labels. One is suspected.
Right.
One is possible. And one is probable.
Mm-hmm.
So those all kind of mean different things, but it's this wastebasket diagnosis for somebody that you're testing for COVID-19. It's somebody during the pandemic who has appropriate symptoms that they should get tested. Right. And now that our county has opened it up to go ahead and test all people with symptoms possibly coming from COVID-19 right now, as supplies allow, that we go ahead and do that. Yep. Even if it's just a fever, if it's just a cough, if it's just shortness of breath, if it's sore throat and diarrhea, and change in smell, you know, these things, we'll go ahead and test them. And we put them in the separate side of the office, and we put on all the personal protective equipment, and we test them. And we code it as possible. So these guys were having a fit that somebody's telling them to code the patients appropriately.
Right.
So we can track who we're testing.
To track who we're testing, but also for insurance to pay for a test, because that was, I think, part of the
money side. We're going to talk about that, too.
Yeah, we'll need to talk about that. But for insurance to pay for a test, you need to code things properly. So I can't just say somebody's got back pain and, you know, some random symptom and then put this test in there. Every time you put in, I guess, a little backstory here of how we do things. Every time we order a test, it needs to be attached to a diagnosis.
Yes.
So in this case, we're testing for COVID-19. So it is attached to a diagnosis of possible or suspected COVID-19 infection.
Yes.
And that is one way that we're able to get it paid for.
So. And that number is not intended to represent COVID-19 cases.
No,
exactly.
No, it's not. If it doesn't come back positive, it is not counted as a COVID-19 case.
No. Only if it's actually test positive that they have it.
Right.
So now the money side of it. So
sure.
I can't speak to the hospital side of it, but I can speak to the outpatient side.
Yep.
We are a practice that sees Medicare patients, which there aren't that many right now because a lot of people got out when they started adding Micra and Macra and all that stuff.
Right.
It's not Micra and Macra. What? Macra.
MIPS.
MIPS and Macra. I'm sorry. Micra something else.
People have no idea what you're talking
about.
We want
to keep that.
Anyways, it's a lot of documentation that you need to stay in and get paid for Medicare.
But also, it's a way that Medicare pays doctors less.
Yes, yeah.
Over time, and people don't like being paid less for doing the same work, so they got out. We decided to do something that
we're one of the rare people that still takes Medicare.
So we're doing it through Medicare Advantage.
Yeah.
That you know, pays us monthly instead of paying us per thing we do. So anyway. The codes have to support that we are indeed looking out for COVID-19 in Medicare patients. Now, I don't think that at our level, the amount of money that we got from the CARES Act requires all the documentation that other people do.
I don't think so. It's just accepting Medicare, yeah.
But the condition of us getting some of that CARES money to take care of our Medicare patients was that we are indeed dealing with COVID-19. So, of course, when we're testing for it, we say,
right.
It's a possible case of COVID-19. That's why we're testing for it. Mm-hmm. This tells them that the money they gave us was used for the right thing. Now, about the money. Are we making money off of this? No. We're hoping to come out just about the way we would had there not been any COVID-19 anything, which is wonderful. And I understand that that's a huge blessing when you consider that a lot of businesses are really suffering.
Right.
And instead of us suffering, it looks like the CARES money allowed us to totally stay open and keep working the way we never closed. We just kept working and seeing patients even when they were only trickling in. Some of our employees, take a day off here.
A lot
of the employees did to help make that possible. That combined with the CARES payment keeps us about even. So there's not an incentive for us to play the system or to say people have COVID-19 when they don't. So those guys that were ranting on the video, I would say there is no basis for what they were saying.
Yes, based on what we have seen and what we are currently coding.
Yes, I don't know what their problem. Now, as far as talking about breathing in virus, I suppose if you expire virus through expiration.
Who said it? Somebody said it activates it.
Brother. Okay.
Oh, gosh, I can't find it.
And
sorry,
then they were talking
about us.
Also, another thing that came up that's medical, and so we will address it, was about natural immunity and exposing yourself to antigens to be healthier. And I, okay, I'm going to go too far here.
Okay, I'll reel you in. I'll be the
so. I know I'll be the voice of reason. I'm going too far to say this. And that if you're to say this is an objective show, oh, they're totally right on with everything. This is the part you'd have to cut out. And that is
okay.
for you to be saying that kind
this
of thing.
Is exciting.
That we all need to be touching everything and exposing ourselves to everything to have healthy immune systems, to me, is eugenics.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. You are stepping out there with that one. So my question with that is, not everyone has a healthy immune system. And actually, most of the people we take care of in our office don't have a fully functioning immune system if we take into account
their
past medical history. So if somebody has diabetes, heart failure, high blood pressure, their immune system is going to be a little debilitated.
They did not make that proviso. Now,
no, they didn't.
Edited out. It's possible that they did and it was edited out.
Maybe.
To their credit.
That's, yeah.
But if you don't, isn't that saying that people with compromised immune systems
don't matter?
Yeah.
That we should just take them off this planet because
instead of
not
saying based on a person's race, they don't deserve to live, it's based on their ability to survive, survival of the fittest. Isn't that what that's saying?
I guess so. Yeah.
Unless there was something that was edited out.
Maybe. And I didn't watch that whole Bakersfield doctor commentary that they talked about, so I can't comment on any of that. Okay. But even beyond that, yes, we're transferring stuff all the time. We're getting inoculated when we eat stuff, when we touch each other with all sorts of bacteria in small amounts that our body has seen something similar to it, so it's able to mount an immune response and make sure that we're not getting infected. Now, not all of those things that we come in contact with, actually most of them, are not going to hurt us. They're not virulent. So like we have bacteria all over our skin, it's probably a staph, and that staph is not dangerous. There are types of staph that are dangerous, but the type on our skin usually isn't.
And we can even have the dangerous type sitting
on our sometimes skin. You can do that too. And that just, doesn't mean you're going
to leave it there. We don't try to attack
and,
it.
And give it to other people. But anyways, so back to this. This is a new virus. Our immune system has never seen something like this. So the whole idea that we're supposed to be giving each other a little of this and inoculating each other in small doses to build a healthy immune response is ridiculous. Even in small amounts, this will infect you and you'll get an immune response. Now, there will be cases where there are asymptomatic individuals that don't show any symptoms. You know, their body's able to fight it off and mount an immune response without showing any symptoms ever. More likely if you're younger and healthy. If you're older, over age 60, or have multiple health conditions, not as likely. So, I don't know. Did we tear that apart enough?
I think so. Maybe we should go to the viewers at this point, because this is a live stream, and the way that people know.
Bianca decided to comment on my hair. Thanks for that one. Man. See, I am truly socially distancing. Well, I don't think we have anybody doing hair in Auburn anyways. Actually, we may have had one person.
There was somebody.
Somebody opened. But anyways.
Whoever Kirk Euler is.
Yeah, and they had a nice little conversation back and forth about the hair and everything like that. I'm just going to let it grow. Let's just keep doing it. Let's till it's down to here. Let's see. Comments. My brother and his wife tested positive. That's Bianca.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow. Did you come in contact with them? I guess I should keep reading. Laura Spurs. Hey, thanks for showing up, Laura. Appreciate it. How are they? Are they symptomatic? They're under quarantine, but okay. All right. Appreciate it.
We even have people who work in the White House who are under quarantine right now.
That's right. Yeah.
Even the highest levels of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease and CDC and FDA, all three of them are.
Bianca, she's on the other side of the pond, so she comments that the rallies they're having over there, I'd be worried there are so many on the streets denying COVID. I think that's conflated by the news. If depending on where you're at, there are a lot of people who are on board with this. And if you look at the people who are going around the capitals in the various states, it's a minority. It definitely doesn't represent, you know, everybody in the state for sure.
Yeah.
We're in a more liberal state, so it's probably not as much where we're at. We have a lot of people who are on board with it, especially in our bigger cities like San Francisco, and LA. Those cities are essentially shut down. So we have a lot of people who are taking this seriously, and we do appreciate that, at least in California. Can't speak for other states. So let's see here.
Your comments and questions during the live stream. And if you want to make sure that you know about our next live stream, activate the bell notification icon on YouTube for Auburn Medical Group. That way you will know when we're on. And
yep. Talking about testing. Testing is still, we're expanding it, but it's still not where it needs to be. And that is actually one of the reasons why our county specifically has been on the list that shouldn't open up in California. We don't have enough testing in place. I think that's what they said.
Thankfully, we are testing everybody with symptoms now. That's the change in the last couple of weeks that we were really, really happy to be able to finally not tell people, oh, we have to save the testing for those really poor immune system people or people with comorbid disease. Now we can test all the people with symptoms.
Yep. And that's kind of getting caught up. So appreciate all your comments. You guys are interacting with each other. And
And we would remind people if they want to ask the question about antibody testing, we have a separate video for antibody testing. Actually, a whole video for COVID testing.
Right.
That covers all the tests.
We talked about it all.
That would be the place to get information about that. So thank you, Dr. Duane.
Yeah.
For bringing information to us.
So that was just a little snippet of that video. There are plenty of other things online that unfortunately, well, not unfortunately, but unfortunately need to be done to discredit, and they do it rightfully so, of the people who are on it. So
yeah, do your own research for the rest of it, or go to somebody else you trust for that. But we are a place you can come to for what does a real doctor who's actually seeing real patients have to say about what's going on in the plandemic movie.
Right. And along those lines, if you want to click on over after you're done here to drgreenknight.com.
Yes.
Great article this week, if I might say so myself. Yeah. I actually had a lot of fun writing it. So the title is When Public Health Confronts Personal Liberty. So that's just a teaser there, but I kind of go into a few different things in history where this has been demonstrated before, and some things that have bore out, and how this may play out. And a person, part of the article is just an internal struggle I have. I value my personal liberty, but I'm a doctor, and I do look out for, you know, public health as well. So there's a little bit of an internal struggle there that I play out in that article. So go check it out. I hope you appreciate that. And I would like to thank my patrons, Boo Boo Kitty and Teresa Roy. Thank you. You guys make this happen. Appreciate it. And you?
Also, Boo Boo Kitty.
Yay.
And Lindsay Antwine, who helped to make all of our videos that come out. Not just the ones where we remember to say their names, but even like the earwax video from Friday. They helped
to
make that.
Yeah, that's right.
Too.
That was great. Yeah, check that one out.
Glad you liked it. Yeah. So, thank you for watching. Thank you for giving us consideration as you look into this topic. And
Dr. Gwen Vaughn.
Dr. Mark Vaughn telling you to stay in good health.
Yeah, we'll see you.